Hey, everybody, welcome back to StadiaCast, your one-stop shop for all the Stadia news that you can use. I'm Bill, that's Lloyd. What's going on, Lloyd?
Not much, man. Getting into fall weather here. We've had something with pumpkin in it like every day for the last week, and I kind of don't want to see a pumpkin again, and I'm really worried about Halloween coming up because I'm going to see jack-o'-lanterns everywhere, and I think it's going to bring the rage. So too much pumpkin stuff is how I'm doing right now.
I don't know, man. I like Dunkin' Donuts pumpkin coffee. I know it's not really coffee, but I like it, and it tastes really good.
I did love pumpkin. Well, let's put it that way. I still do, but I think I've had enough between what did we have? We had a pumpkin French toast. We had pumpkin pie. We had pumpkin lattes. We had you name it. Pumpkin little puff things that my wife makes. Too much.
Oh, you pumpkin. Guys have Canadian Thanksgiving coming up soon, right?
We do. So this was my daughter's birthday. She asked for, because we can, when we have a birthday, we can kind of pick what we want as like dinner and dessert and all this stuff.
Yeah.
She said, I want pumpkin everything. So she had pumpkin everything. And
nice.
I'm ready to take a break from pumpkin.
Well, at least until Canadian Thanksgiving. Right. And then, you know. It's pumpkin. Whatever, man. Pumpkins are great. Let's move on. Let's talk about video games before we actually get started. If you are listening to this on your favorite podcast player, first off, thank you. Secondly, if you want to check out the video version of the show or hang out with us live while we do the show, then head on over to nerdnest.tv, hit the subscribe button, and you know, watch a video over there. Click the like buttons. All of those things help. There's also a join button, which you can use in order to support the show. There's the super chat button if you are here with us live, and you can use that in order to make sure that we see your message. We will absolutely respond to each and every super chat message that comes in at the end of the show. And thank you, everybody, for watching and being here with us. Let's start off this episode the same way we start off every episode, with Lloyd telling me
yes,
what he's been playing.
I've actually been playing a lot, but only one thing on Stadia. We had a Nintendo Direct this week, so one of my favorite games of all time, ActRaiser, got a remake. Mm-hmm. I've been playing the heck out of that, in addition to the Castlevania Advance Collection, because those are my favorite games in the Castlevania, or some of my favorite games in the Castlevania franchise. But that's not on Stadia. What I have been playing on Stadia, besides Destiny 2, still making my way through the Battle Pass. I think I'm at level 60 now, so I might actually get to level 100 before this one resets.
How long do you have?
I think it's like another 3 months or something. Like it's a fairly long time.
Yeah, there's no way you're not going to hit. I mean, if you're already at 60, does it progressively get more XP needed or whatever?
It does, but you also get XP bonuses the further along the season pass you get. So it's kind of a weird thing. It will be a little bit longer, but it's actually pretty quick. You can go up a few levels a day just by doing a few of your things. So like your little challenges and things like that. So
nice.
I've been really enjoying Destiny 2 to kind of I don't know, just reset my brain before bed. But the new game that I've been playing on Stadia is really, it's a demo. It's a free demo. You can go download it, or you can claim it right now because you don't download things on Stadia. It's called From Space, the multiplayer demo. And this is a snapshot of what the developers behind It Came From Space and Ate Our Brains are working on next. This is a similar game, top-down dual-stick shooters type game. But this one seems to have a lot more kind of challenges and other things built into it. In the multiplayer demo, there's even achievements. There's 6 achievements you can get by playing through the demo. I don't think I've ever played a demo that has added to my gamer score, which is really fun. But if you're not familiar with the game, you are a dude, dual stick shooting. So left stick moves you, right stick aims and shoots. And in this one, there's a bunch of different weapons you can pick up, from an Uzi to a shotgun to a grenade launcher to a Gatling gun. There's ammo pickups and health pickups. And you're basically just going through the world, killing these pink aliens, collecting the little orbs that they drop. And then at the end of the demo, there's this experimental weapon that you have to activate. And then you basically input all those little orbs that you took from the enemies. You use those to charge up that weapon. And then at the end of the demo, you're basically blowing up the whole alien colony. So it's not huge. It's like, I don't know, it's 30 minutes maybe to get through the demo. But this gives a good example of what they're planning for the next one. And it is fully multiplayer. Before the show, Bill and I were talking. There was a game that I played, and I can't remember the name of it, which is really bothering me that I can't remember it. But it was a top-down dual-stick shooter that kind of played like Left 4 Dead, which was kind of like a first-person shooter where there's people versus aliens, or people versus zombies, essentially. It was kind of like that because there was safe room, so you'd have to rush to get to the safe room, which is kind of like it came from Aliens and or it came from Space Invader Brains.
Right.
They had those kind of safe rooms at the end of the level. But it was kind of built into the different levels as you made your way through them. It looks like this game may be close to that one, which is great because I played the ever-living heck out of that. I believe on the Xbox One, I think, is where I was playing it with a buddy of mine. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they have to do with this one. Yeah, just see where it develops. I love dual-stick shooters, and this seems to be like a dual-stick shooter with a little bit of kind of a loot system. It seems like there's only weapons to pick up right now, but I'd be surprised if there wasn't like armor pickups eventually, and you're dropping this one that gives you speed for that one that gives you a little bit more damage or something. What a fun little demo. As I said, it's about 30 minutes to make your way from start to finish. You can play with friends if you want. Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. Very fun and enjoyable little demo on the Stadia store right now.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to trying that out. It's funny, like, I was looking at the show notes and Lloyd was typing in his stuff that he had played, and I was like, oh, I forgot about that, which is weird because earlier this week, my wife and I were sitting on the couch and we were watching something, I can't remember what, and I got, like, somebody sent me an invite to play it, and I had to decline because I was, you know, busy, but it made me think, okay, I got to remember to play that game. And then I just forgot again. And there's no good reason for me to forget this game because it's ticking all of the boxes that look good to me. Like, I think that this game looks really, really great. So right. I need to make sure that I spend that half hour, like you said, and play that game. What I have played this week is, very, very little. I just have not found time to sit down and really play games, but I did play a little bit of Life is Strange, True Colors. That game is incredibly cool. The acting is amazing. The graphics are gorgeous. The soundtrack is, everything about this game is really good. I'm super early on, but already I have like a billion questions. There's some really cool, not mechanics, but there's really cool ways for you to go and get more to the story that I found. So at one point I'm standing in a record store and I see a little tiny icon. It almost didn't get noticed down in the bottom right corner of the screen. It's like, look at your phone. I was like, oh, okay. So I pull out my phone. And then I just sat there reading text messages. And it's not like, it's like in most games that where you have a cell phone or whatever, and you are interacting with text messages in some way, it's like the world didn't start until you picked up the controller. In this one, there's all of these old text messages that you can go through and you can get a little more backstory to this girl's life and the things that she's gone through and what she is like or what maybe she used to be like. And I found that to be incredibly interesting. I especially like how I was reading through a text message thread, actually a couple of them, and it was like, this caller is now blocked. So I was like, oh, okay. So she really doesn't like this person and she really doesn't want to hear from that person. And I just find the world that this is in to be very, very compelling. I was like, I'm going to sit down and play for an hour just so I can get a feel for it. And I played, I'm not sure how long that I played for, but it was longer than that, a lot longer than that. So I'm really enjoying the game. The world is awesome. Everything about this game is wonderful. And if you haven't checked it out, you absolutely should. And now I'm way more excited for the is it a trilogy?
Yeah,
the previous ones are a trilogy, right? Okay,
the two. It's two games that two, are okay that are coming up. Yeah.
So I'm really excited for those other two games when the combo pack comes out. Although I think I have on Steam the first one. I got through like a Humble Bundle, so that's like I can check that out right now. But I'm gonna focus on True Colors instead of going back to the old ones first. But I'm blown away at how good this is. Like, this is definitely a game where I think I want to sit down with my wife and like you have to like there's a decision, like when you have to make decisions like some of them are clearly really important. Right. And I got to one of those and I was sitting there and I sat there for I think 2 minutes just like mulling it over. I was like, well, do I play, like, do I do what I think is the right thing to do, or do I do what this, I don't know, 20 something girl thinks is the right thing to do? And right. I wasn't I was kind of going back and forth. And when a game makes you have to really stop and think about what you're going to do, I think that they've done something pretty magnificent, and I'm pretty early on still.
I agree. The story building that they're doing, or in the world building that they're doing with the story, is pretty amazing. Like the story revolves around a girl and her brother that were estranged. So they were separated for a long period of time because of various things. Don't want to spoil too much of the story, but that's kind of how it starts. And you kind of start the game. Oh, I'm going to visit my brother. I haven't seen him forever. And it's like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. But then just like you, Bill, I noticed that when I pulled up my phone, I could see all these old text messages from months ago between myself and my brother. And it's like, okay, well, there is a bit of a relationship there. They're not best friends because they haven't seen each other for a while, but maybe she really loves him. Maybe this is a good thing for her in the game. So one of the first decisions you make when you arrive is, do you just say hi to your brother, or do you run over and give him a hug, or do you do other things? So I'm like, well, based on the text messages, she clearly loves him. So I went and gave him a hug, and then kind of the tone of the conversations changed. Everyone had a bit more of a smile on their face, and I'm like, holy crap, that is really cool. And that's kind of how the whole game is done, where there's info there if you want. You can go to the record shop. You can read the backs of all these albums and LPs. You can look at posters. You can look at postcards on the wall. Or you could walk up to the one person that is highlighted. You can talk to them. You can leave and then continue on. So it could be a story that is over in 6 hours or a story that's over in 60 hours. And I really dig that, because the world that they're building, or the world that they did build for this game, is pretty fantastic. So I'm right at the end of chapter one, and I haven't had the time to finish it, which is really, really upsetting to me, because I really want to know what happens in the story. But I'm really digging it, and I'm glad that you're digging it as well, Bill. It is a fantastic game, and I'm really looking forward to playing the first two games over again in, I think, February 2022, when it's going to be coming to Stadia as part of Stadia Pro, apparently. So we'll see if that still happens, or if the changes to Pro has made that different. But the fact that if you're a Pro member, you might be able to play the first two games and then pick this one up after is a pretty fantastic thought.
Yeah, or you can start with this one, because even though it's the third, the stories don't overlap as far as I'm understanding. I think the way that they do these games is it's the same world, but the people are, it's completely separate stories. So I think that you're safe to play this one first. At least that's what my understanding is. And I will say this last thing before we move on. If that town has good internet, I want to live there, because it's beautiful. Like
it is.
Like I love the main street, the way that it looks.
Yeah.
So quaint.
It's like cottage country.
Yes. I love everything about that town. Yeah. I just hope that they have good internet.
Yeah, I love the little record store that you go into mm-hmm. in the game, and I'm like, man, I wish I had this in my city. I just want to go hang out here and look at old vinyl and stuff. I don't buy vinyl. I don't collect vinyl, but I love that vibe. Back from when I was younger, going to a record store was mm-hmm. a big thing. You go there, you spend your allowance on a CD or a cassette tape or a record or whatever. And they really set it up perfect. It feels like something that you'd see in like a TV show based in some small town in Colorado or whatever. Yeah. It's perfect. It seems perfect the way that they've laid this out. So yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying Life is Strange, Bill. It's a great series, and I'm super super glad that you're enjoying it.
Yeah, and just an aside, and then we can move on. I went to a record store yesterday, just happened nice. To be in Syracuse, and we ended up going to a little record store called Soundgarden, and you know, picked up some cool stuff. I love records, and I would love to have like a record player and buy some albums. But listening to them is such a pain when I can just say, hey, keyword, play a song, and it just works. I just can't yeah. bring myself to do it. So anyway.
Were you scared when you walked into that record store? Why? Of the black hole sun that was threatening to pull you into it?
No. Just no. Okay. All right. Hey, everybody. I'm looking for a new co-host. get rid of this guy. All right, moving on. Let's talk about the news. We'll start with this week on Stadia. Every week, Google posts a This Week on Stadia post. This one was really, really light, but it contains something that is very, very exciting for a lot of people, and that is Streets of Rage 4 finally got the Mr. X Nightmare add-on content. Lloyd, you want to explain what this add-on content has?
Yeah, so everywhere else, you get three additional characters. With the Stadia version, you only get two because the base game on Stadia already comes with one of the characters yeah. that was added as part of this DLC. And besides the new playable characters, there are there's a new survival mode with weekly challenges. There's also the ability to take your fighter and completely customize them as you're playing through a mode to change the way that your fighter is compared to someone else's fighter. So you can kind of pick your moves, pick your charges, your sprints, all that stuff. It's pretty fantastic, and it's nice that it's here on Stadia. It took a few days from when it was supposed to be there to when it finally showed up in the store. I picked up the DLC yesterday, and I fully intended to play it, got tied up with other things, so I haven't seen how well it plays on Stadia. But I have watched a lot of people play through some of the character customization stuff and customize their characters and make all this stuff really awesome on other platforms. So I'm really looking forward to doing that here on Stadia as well.
Yeah, and we've played the game on Stadia, just not the DLC so far. Yeah. And I'm sure like it runs fine on Stadia, it's like just as good yeah. as it does anywhere else. So it's a really, really good game. It's one of those games where you can probably finish it in a few hours, but if you want, you can, you know, really, really learn your combos and get that score multiplier up. And I love the idea of the survival mode where you're just trying to live as long as you possibly can before you inevitably succumb to your wounds. Because, like, I don't know about you, Lloyd, but when I was growing up, that's how games worked. You just kept they just kept getting harder until you lost. And I think that that's what the survival mode is probably going to be like. I haven't played it yet, but I'm definitely looking forward to checking it out. The graphics yeah. are beautiful. The gameplay itself, like the moment to moment, like button mashing as you fight these guys is just awesome. And I love the art. Everything looks like hand drawn. It's just such a beautiful game, and being able to yeah. have that replayable content that you can keep hitting over and over and over again, that's really, really cool. The other thing that they mentioned in This Week in Stadia, or This Week on Stadia, I've always said it wrong, is the Elder Scrolls Online Gates of Oblivion. This is going to have like a big stream over on youtube.com/Bethesda. If you're a fan of ESO, you probably already know about this, but this is, they say, tune in to learn the upcoming Elder Scrolls Online Deadlands DLC and get an exclusive look at the fiery conclusion to the year-long saga. If you don't play ESO, the way it works is every expansion, they have like a year of things that happen throughout the year that continue the story forward, and they're coming up on the end of that. So that's going to be happening, and the big stream is happening on October 1st. So that's not very long. You only got a few days left before that one happens, and I think that there's going to be a lot of people who are very excited about that. That is one of my favorite MMOs of all time, and being able to play it without installing, downloading anything, you just grab your controller or your mouse and keyboard and open up the browser and start playing. That's how every MMO should be, because you got to be online to play them anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's something special the first time that I jumped into Elder Scrolls on Stadia. No downloads, no installs. Do I have to install this? Do I have to install that? I jumped in and played it after had playing it at launch on PlayStation 4 and just not really getting into it. I spent like way more than I want to admit here in Elder Scrolls Online based on because it came to Stadia. So It is a fantastic MMO. It is one of the best ones for a lot of people out there because they love the kind of like Elder Scrolls storylines that is all baked into this game. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen October 1st, to see what's happening with the Oblivion, the Deadlands DLC that is coming out based on the year of Oblivion or whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah, so, I'm not watching it because I don't want to get dragged back into that game.
yeah, that's very easy to do. Easy to get dragged in.
Playing Final Fantasy 14. New World comes out on Tuesday. By the way, I know it's not a Stadia game, but if you guys are interested, I'm going to be doing a stream on release day. So make sure you come hang out for that. But New World is coming out on the 28th. That's just 2 days away. I'm super hyped for that. And going back into ESO, not right now. Maybe when the next expansion comes out, I'll check it out. But I'm gonna just take a break from that. All right. This is very, very interesting. So there's this new tag that was found in Android 3.36 for Android. For those of you that don't know, basically we find out about potential features through companies or places or people looking into the API calls and stuff that are written in these apps for Android, because people can download them, take them apart, see everything that's in there, and we find out about potential features. Like that's where the Project Hailstorm, which vanished without a trace. I still think that that's an interesting thing. I want to know what it is, but like that's where we found out about that thing. Well, the first thing is voice chat progress. Okay, so we hear about this every single APK breakdown. They keep saying they're adding more stuff for voice chat, which is cool. I don't know why it's taken so long to do voice chat, but they keep saying, well, you know, there's more new stuff. it's taken a really long time, but then they found this weird thing. It says, digging deeper, we found progress towards Stadia for Android asking for permission to use the microphone, a process which may involve entering into picture-in-picture. So one of the issues is when you've got, your cell phone and you're using it, a lot of times and I like that they do that, the operating system requires apps to ask your permission to use certain parts of the phone, which is awesome. The issue is when, like if I'm playing a game and somebody wants to do voice chat with me, and I go to try and use that, and it asks me to, you know, it's like, hey, do you want to do this? It kicks me out of the game because it's not like I don't know. It just was never meant to do that kind of thing before. So
right.
It might kick you out of the game. So now it looks like it might shrink your game down to picture-in-picture mode. Or that's what it seems like they're saying here. Shrink your game down to picture-in-picture mode so that you can go through the appropriate settings. I think that that's really cool. But that's not the most interesting thing that's in this. The most interesting thing, if you looked at the title of the YouTube video, is instant trial. You want to tell people what this instant trial thing says?
Well, yeah. There's four strings that were found in the APK. Instant underscore trial, is instant trial, skew instant trial action, and enable non-pro free gameplay, which may or may not be related to this. So one thing that when Bill and I were doing Stadia Cast prior to Stadia launching, we said, wouldn't it be amazing if you could play any game that's on Stadia for 5 or 10 minutes just to check it out and see if it's a game that you like? There's no downloads, so there's no reason why this couldn't be a thing. And we threw that out early on as something we'd love to see. Maybe this is that. Maybe this is a way for us to try games. So you're looking at the store, you see a new game like Chorus, which we'll be talking about later, and you're like, is this going to be a game for me? So you can play it for a little chunk of time, possibly. This also could be away from instant trial, looking at like a YouTube video for a game, yeah, and then clicking a button that takes you into a pro trial or something. Maybe it's not game trials, because we won't know until it launches, but it sure seems like it's more the former than the latter. And I think if this is a thing, like if Google and all their partners that are publishing games on the service are going to let people do a free trial of the games that are published for, say, 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, that would be huge. That would be game-changing in the industry, because now people can try it, which is great. They can try it on Stadia before buying it on other platforms, potentially. But the more people that try Stadia means more people might stick to Stadia, which is a good thing. But then it also means that developers don't have to spend time doing what it came from Space Devs did, which was make a trial demo that you could download and check it out. They could just publish the game and then say, hey, here's your 15-minute trial. You can jump into the first chapter or whatever. This could be huge. Again, we don't know that this means game demos or game trials. It could be something completely different. Maybe this is even what Hailstorm was supposed to be. Who knows? But I guess we'll see when we get closer to launch for this feature that's currently in the APK.
Yeah, this is the kind of feature that can't really happen on other platforms. I mean, it could happen on Xbox Cloud Gaming. It could happen on Luna. Yeah. It can't happen on a traditional platform because of piracy. Like, if you let people download the games to their devices, they're gonna, like, somebody is going to figure out a way to make it so that you don't get removed or you can continue playing or whatever. With Stadia, because you're not downloading the game, the client is never on your system. That means it is in complete control of Google and the publisher on how long these demo things can last. So you can literally just play it for 5 minutes and see what it's like. Or, you know, if the developer, like, I would not recommend playing Life is Strange True Colors for 5 minutes. You're not going to get anything out of that. That would not be a good experience. But if the publishers and the developers can work with Google to say, all right, this is the kind of experience for time limiting that we can do, then that's perfect. And if you pair that demo thing with the state share thing, where you can have a state share that is available when you click a link in a YouTube description, so I can watch like a trailer for a game, and then I can click a link and pick up exactly where that trailer leaves off and play for 5 to 10 minutes, that's going to sell a lot of games. Because a lot of times people, they have this ridiculous amount of choices of games, and a lot of times games don't get picked up or purchased or played because somebody doesn't know how good it is. and the publishers can't spend all of the extra time to make a demo. But if you just are taking a screenshot and sharing that link out,
yeah,
that's a completely different thing. I think that instant, I forgot what it's called, instant trials, should have been here from the start. It really should have been, because it would have sold a lot of people on the idea of Stadia as well, because so many people, like they said, they decided very early on that Stadia was a lag fest when it wasn't, because they didn't want to spend the money to try it. And that's on Google for doing it that way. Instant trials could really be a huge change for Stadia.
Yeah. Gustavo in the chat room is saying devs can pick the O moment to let you have like 15 minutes of magic with the game. Mm-hmm. And 100% with state share, they could bring tie the state into the trial, so it loads to a particular level, a particular scene with a particular set of items in your inventory or whatever. They could use state share along with instant trial to give a 15-minute snapshot at any part of the game without really having to develop a demo. They just have to basically have the state share tie into their save system. This could be huge. Again, it could also be nothing. Yeah. We don't know until it launches. But I'd like to think that this ended up on the whiteboard of the future when we were talking about it early on. I'm sure that's not it. I'm sure they have a lot of smart people working for them at Google. So this is probably on their roadmap early on. But if this actually comes to fruition and it launches and you can play any game just to see how well it runs, this is going to be fantastic. I hope this launches really, really soon.
Yeah, but keep in mind, like I said at the beginning of this particular segment, we've seen them talking about voice on Android for like every update for how long? Like, it's been a really long time.
And when
I say them talking about, I'm talking about the people breaking down the APK. Google's not talking about this. This isn't anybody official saying anything. This is information that people are picking out of a jumble of text,
right.
But it's interesting. But it also means that this could be never coming or coming on a really, really long time. There's no way for us to know.
Exactly. But even more exciting than the trials in this, maybe not more exciting, but something that will potentially help me out more than trialing a game is screen switching. The process to move from one screen on Stadia to another is a little bit cumbersome. It's not as easy as, say, Luna, where you just turn on another screen and your controller switches over. To switch from my Chromecast to my Chrome browser, I have to basically end the session, not end the game, or that kills my session, then start the session up somewhere else, and then it puts me back to where I was. But it would be really nice if I could just fire up an app and say, okay, which devices have I played Stadia on? Okay, I want to play with my Chromecast Ultra with Google TV. Hit a button, boom, that Stadia stream is live on that screen. So it looks like that is one other thing that's been added to the APK. A little bit of text that says switch screen to play on. Maybe there's going to be a built-in way in the app to switch from one to the other, just to make things a little bit easier. You can do it now, but it's not as easy as it could or should be.
Yeah, you like right now, one of the problems, listen, this if you're complaining about this, you need bigger things to complain about, honestly. But one of the problems is that, like, if I'm playing over here and I decide I'm going to go downstairs and play the game or whatever, or maybe I'm going to play it on my phone instead, you shut, like you said, you shut down your game, then you go to the other device and you turn it on, but you don't actually end the game. So the game is still running on the server. You're just ending your view of it. But then you have to you have to disconnect your controller. And then when you get downstairs, you have to reconnect your controller by putting in a different code. What I really hope that this does is, like, let's say I'm playing, I can just hit a button, I hit the Stadia button, and there's a thing in there that says play on this screen or play on some other screen, and I can just go, oh, okay, I'm going to go switch over to the living room Google TV, hit that button, and then I just walk downstairs and it turns on and the controller's already paired. Like, that would be really, really cool. If it doesn't happen, I don't know. Who really cares? It's not that big of a deal, but still, it would be cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would take away one of those like kind of rough edges that people say, "Oh, see, Stadia, they're not as good as some of the other ones because of this." It's like, okay, well, just get rid of that then. If that is the rough edge that you keep catching yourself on, you get slivers from. Let's just sandpaper that down a little bit to get rid of that rough edge. It'll be good. Hopefully, this does come because switching from one screen to another could definitely be made a lot easier on Stadia.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. By the way, I just want to remind everybody, I mean to do this every week and I always forget. I want to thank the people who are always dropping these news stories into our community Discord. Every week we make a new thread in our Stadia channel of the Discord that has just like Stadia Cast episode 130 or whatever. Like that's what it'll be this week, I think. And people drop links in there or topics that they want us to talk about on the show. So I just wanted to remind everybody, head on over to nerdnest.tv/discord and you can drop in links. And that's where we've been getting most of these. So thank you to everybody who's been dropping those links in there. We really do appreciate it. All right. This is one that I actually put in the Discord because I wanted to remember to look at it. And it's a game that got announced a while ago and I just kind of forgot about it. And that's because we're constantly bombarded with amazing, exciting thing and another amazing, exciting thing. And it just keeps coming one after another after another. This one looks really, really cool. It's called Chorus. When they did their art choices, they made the U look like a V for some reason. And I don't understand that, but whatever. It's fine. It's called Chorus. And we just got like this 4-minute trailer that really explains more about it, and I could not be more hyped for this game. It reminds me a lot of Wing Commander, but with a very strange story. Are you hyped for this game, by the way, Lloyd?
Yeah, very much so. I forgot about what the game was. I was like, oh, is this the one where you're in like jet suits flying around? No, that was something else. That was Anthem. No, it's not that. Is it this other one? No, it's not that. And then they showed some of the geometry, which reminded me of Control. And I'm like, oh, right. It's the space shooter that has elements that look like you're in Control with weird pyramids and moving stone and crazy stuff. This looks so damn good. If I remember correctly, this is one of the games where the devs were saying, what? I don't know what you're talking about, but we're doing ray tracing on the Stadia hardware right now. That was like early on in the development talk or whatever. Who knows if it's going to launch with that, of course. But that was what initially got me hyped about this one. But watching this trailer, this is everything I want from a flight sim. I want to fly around space. I want to shoot things. I want to do kind of like the Star Wars trench run through asteroids and spaceships. But if they're going to take that and they're going to put a compelling story into it, because your ship is sentient and you're learning skills as well as your ship is learning skills as you make your way through this expansive universe that you can fly through and explore. Yes, please. This is like if you took Everspace and combined it with Control and then added some really cool stuff from like Mass Effect. It's like little elements from all these other games that I've loved. It looks like it might be culminating in this one game called Chorus with a V. I'm really excited for this one. I really cannot wait to see more from it.
It's so hilarious that you mentioned like the trench run from Star Wars, because that's exactly the feeling that I got. They have like these missions that you can go on. And they talk about this in the trailer. There's these missions that you can go on where you basically go into like a building and you fly around inside this building, like hunting things down. And then they showed like the galaxy map or whatever, all the different places that you can go to. And it looks like huge and massive. And of course, you know, it's space. I don't know if you're aware, space is mostly empty. All right. So maybe this is mostly empty. We don't know, but it looked really big and it looks really good. And the graphics are gorgeous. And I love, I just adore the way that this ship moves. Yeah. It very much reminds me of ships like in Battlestar Galactica, like the new one, not the old one, where they can change direction really, really quickly. And that's super, super interesting to me. And then you can customize your ship to have different weapons and stuff. So you can say, all right, well, I know that I'm going to fight these guys right here. And basically you can say, all right, I'm going to be rock, paper, scissors. So I know I'm going up against these guys and they use this kind of weapon. So I'm going to put these kind of shields on. And, you know, they're going to have these kinds of shields because of my recon. So I'm going to go ahead and make sure I use missiles instead of lasers or whatever. It looks incredibly fun and good God, it's pretty.
Yeah, like you were talking about the temples that they were talking about in the trailer where you basically are going in and that's how you upgrade, I guess, your sentient ship or whatever is through the alien technology. I think the aliens are called the Faceless or something. It just looks intriguing and it looks like everything I want from a modern video game. Great graphics, amazing control, and they're doing something with the camera system. Like when your ship is moving, it's like the camera's kind of behind just a split second. I watched I can't remember the name of the game. I think it's just called Moto on PlayStation 5, but there was this really sweet video that was shown of a motorcycle racing game where the world looks photoreal. The ground was wet. There was all these great reflections, and it looked like someone was actually filming it with a helmet cam, because when you'd go into the turn, you could see the camera would kind of go like this. So the person is kind of like leaning off the handlebars.
Oh, nice.
Just from taking the camera and moving it. And it looks like they're doing some of that in Chorus. And we're humans. We see things. We know how things are supposed to go, but you don't really realize that, like, if you're riding a bike and you're going around a corner, you do kind of shift a little bit. And they're putting that into video games to kind of make it look more photoreal, to stop tricking, or to, I guess, trick your brain more that this is actually happening and it's not just something that's simulation. It looks like they're doing some of that in Chorus as well, which will help with motion sickness for some people. Having the camera kind of be where your head would be can trick some people that have motion sickness to not have motion sickness. So I'm really, really excited to see what they're going to do with Chorus, how it's going to shape up. But man, does it ever look gorgeous. I can't wait to play it.
It does. It looks really, really beautiful. And pre-order, excuse me, you can pre-order it now. And I believe the game comes out December 3rd, so that's not far away at all. I thought this game was coming out next year for some reason. Like, I was anticipating February, and I'm not sure why I thought that, but it's coming out in December, just a couple of months away. And I feel like this is a genre that has fallen by the wayside, and we don't see enough of this particular genre. So I'm excited for it. I think it looks beautiful.
That's exactly one thing that popped in my mind. Foso and Elsa in the chat room says it kind of reminds me of Starlink and Star Fox, the Ubisoft game Starlink. And yeah, like the weapon upgrade system reminds me totally of Starlink, but you don't have to buy goofy plastic toys.
No plastic crap. Thank you. All right. This one is actually pretty interesting. I forgot. I want to talk about the iOS fix real quick. iOS 15 just launched. Some people lost their ability to play Stadia on iOS. Google posted on the official subreddit how to fix this. I think that they need to somehow find a way to push, like, email this to everybody. Or something, so that people, because not everybody goes on Reddit for crying out loud. But if you listen to this show and you play on iOS, like Lloyd and I both are iPhone guys, go to settings. If everything's working for you, which it was for me, then you don't have to worry about this. But you go to settings, Safari, advanced, experimental features, disable WebRTC platform UDP sockets. Blah. I don't know what all that is, but
rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if that fixes it for you and you want to help a friend, just clip this moment from the show and send it to them, and they will be able to go through those things and be able to fix it. All right. So we talked about iOS 15. Somebody sent in a super chat earlier, and it's something that we were going to talk about anyway, but I'm just going to mention the super chat as a thank you to them. So Anthony Talcott sent in a super chat earlier. He said, the new Edge Chrome, not Chrome, Chromium, the new Edge Chromium browser for Xbox supposedly lets you play Stadia. Thoughts? This has been a thing for a while, but it's been in beta testing. Right. Apparently, it is now out. I started up my Xbox Series X, and I went to updates, and it didn't say that there was an update for me, so I was like, well, maybe I already downloaded it. So I opened up the Edge browser, and I went down to, I tried to go to Stadia, and it said, hey, sign in, and I was like, okay, cool. And there's a little box where I can type my username, and I went to type my username, and I could not get the keyboard to come up, and this was this morning about, 15, 20 minutes before we were starting the show. So I said, I'll figure it out later and report back after then. But have you tried it, Lloyd?
I haven't. I thought this was still in the preview. I didn't realize that it was released for everybody this week. I thought it was just moved up because I'm part of the preview program. But I think I'm in like the Delta ring or something. So I get things months after the people that are in like the Alpha ring, or maybe those are flipped. I can't remember how Microsoft does their stuff. So I never had access to it because of the ring that I qualified for. I wasn't able to get in whatever flight, test flight for that stuff. So I'm definitely going to have to go load that up after the show and check it out, because I've been waiting for this, if only to play all of my cloud streaming on one box on certain TVs. So I can move my Xbox Series to a different part of the house, and then I can play everything on it. My games, my xCloud stuff, my Stadia stuff, hopefully in the future GeForce Now, because it doesn't work with GeForce Now currently, because that'll be a great way to get all my content in one area on one box.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a one less thing to have plugged in on the HDMI. Last weekend, I came this close to buying a PS5, and I was having a problem with looking at the, like, I have an HDMI switch under my desk here, and I was like, I gotta unplug something. I don't know what to unplug. Everything, like, all of the HDMI ports are filled up on my HDMI switch.
Right.
So before I do buy a PS5, I have to solve that problem. This could help me solve that problem. Although, I mean, I'll be honest, my Mac is plugged into that, and I can just play Stadia on my Mac, no problem. In fact, it runs better on my Mac than it does on my PC, which is surprising. But, you know, the M1 Macs are like super, super powerful, so I guess it's not surprising. But it also let you use Discord and everything on your Xbox. So I think that this is great. I couldn't figure out how to type, so I don't know. Maybe there's some buffing that needs to happen in order to get this to really shine. But, you know, I think that this is good for everybody out there who's got an Xbox and wants to try cloud gaming. Although apparently GeForce Now is unsupported, and they haven't said why yet. So they said, well, we'll look into it at some point. But I don't know. It should just work, right? Unless you're blocking it.
Yeah, they're looking at the browser string to say what browser, which platform, which whatever, and they probably just haven't added this particular browser string as supported for GeForce Now. But I'm sure that'll happen quickly, because that would be really great to have all that stuff running on one box. I'd love it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, this is a funny story. I don't understand this. Ark shipped on Stadia. And
where did you say? Oh, shipped. Okay, sorry. I thought you were describing something else. Never mind. Just move on.
There we go. Ark came to Stadia. I'll rephrase for Lloyd and his old ears, I guess. And the graphics were, to put it bluntly, real bad. The draw distance was probably worse than any game that I have ever seen in my entire life. I'm talking like worse than, like, Turok the Dinosaur Hunter back in the day. Like, this, the draw distance was abysmally bad. I walked around a boulder or something, and another boulder literally popped up in front of me, and my character could have taken two steps and touched that boulder, and it just popped in. So It was incredibly bad draw distance. And then somebody went in and figured out if you change all these settings, you can get better graphics. And then a community member, Jem, from Jem Bear Gaming, he's got a YouTube channel. Make sure you check out his stuff. He put out a video showing how all of those things work.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to turn all of the things up to 11. And when he turned it up to 11, he was still getting 60 frames per second. Now, I haven't played Ark. I don't really care about that game. But I haven't played Ark. And I've heard that maybe the reason that they had all of the settings on low was because maybe when you get around to big player bases or something, it's going to affect what the game is like. I don't know. I haven't played it, so I'm not sure if that's the case. But apparently the devs said, oh, okay, well, we'll turn all that stuff on by default. so they patched the game, and now everything is the way that Jem had set it. So I don't know. Maybe he ought to get, like, some, like, they maybe they should send him a check for fixing their game.
Right.
I'm flabbergasted.
That's exactly where I am. Like, I don't understand why, if I was working on a game, I wouldn't want to release a game looking like what Ark did if the engine supported better. So there must be reasons. There must be reasons why it was toned down. Maybe when you get into some of the big servers with a lot of people, maybe it got chuggy, but then maybe have it like turn everything up to 11. And then when you get to a server that has a lot of chug, say, hey, there's too many people. We're worried about slowness. We're going to turn down your settings while you're on this server. But then when you're on another one, it pops back up. So bizarre. But like you were saying with the pop in, like, I really want to know what kind of stealth tech they have for like the ferns and plants in this game, because it was amazing. I'd be like 5 inches away from the fern and I wouldn't see it. And I'd creep forward a little bit and it would just pop up.
You, like, rolled really low on your perception check.
That must be it. I'm critical fails everywhere when I'm trying to see the stuff. But yeah, like when I followed Jem's video and I turned everything all the way up, and the game actually looked decent and it performed decent. That's not my type of game. I don't like multiplayer survival games where griefing is part of what most people's fun is, mm-hmm. because that's not fun for me. I don't like griefing. I don't like being griefed. So Ark was not a game that was ever on my radar, but this is how it should have launched. I'm glad to see that the developer kind of did the right thing here, but man, like the pride in releasing a game, you'd think that it would prevent them from releasing it in the way that they did.
I mean, look, Ark is, every time it launches on a platform, it performs incredibly bad. And
yeah,
it seems like this company is perfectly fine with launching a game and having it play like crap. And it's a super popular game, so I guess the players don't really care about the performance. And yeah, most of the time, I'm not somebody who really cares about performance, but it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. If you didn't see what it was like before, you won't believe me how ridiculous it was. And if it was the case that they had all of that stuff turned off in order to make the experience better later on in the game, then what changed? Like, unless something big changed, then you should probably still have all that stuff turned off. Otherwise, you're going to run into those issues later. But they just decided, well, we'll just turn it on. I don't know. It's like, I can't understand it. It's, anyway, I'm going to move on, because I'm just like, this story is so bewildering to me. It's like the Mario casting. Like, I don't know what to say about it. It's so weird. All right.
I mean, at least on Stadia, the game didn't run at 240p like it did on the Nintendo Switch at launch. I remember watching the video that Digital Foundry did, and it would run at 240p for big sections of the game. At least we didn't get a port that was that bad, but man, was it not good. Yeah. So hopefully this will fix it for the people that like to play that game.
All right. Well, we've reached the end of the news. I do have a crowdplay question that came in on our community Discord server. Live Network asked, what system level features would you and Lloyd like to see come to Stadia? So I'm going to say this. I want the Google Assistant to do what they showed off at GDC 2018. So 18 or 19? It doesn't matter. When they announced it, they said, hold down the assistant button and say, how do I beat this level? And it shows you. I want that. I want that. I want to be able to do, screen share? No, not screen. What's it called? State share. Where I can see my friends play.
Stream Connect.
I want to see Stream Connect with like a party, even if we're not playing the same game. So
that would be
those
fantastic.
Are the two things that I really, really want. Lloyd, we got to go fast. Why don't you tell me two quick things from your perspective that you would like?
The Stream Connect when you're in a party would be ideal. I'd love that. I'd love to see what my friends are playing when we're all chatting together. That would be great. The one thing that I'd really like to see selfishly for myself would be save states. Just like for quick resume on Xbox Series, where I could switch between Fortnite and then I can switch to Destiny. Well, I guess those are both
online. Yeah, those are online games. It wouldn't work.
Bad examples. Well, actually, Fortnite loads pretty quick when you do that. But anyway, other games. Manhunt, Maneater, and
Doom.
Halo, we'll say. Yeah. Doom. It's nice to say, oh, okay, I'm really tired of this boss fight, and then hit the menu button, hit the Xbox button, go to the other game, and then I'm playing that game within 10 seconds. I would really, really love to see that on Stadia. And I know there's a logistic issue because you're going to have to take the 16 gigs of RAM, write it to disk, and then put it somewhere on the network where if I'm in a server blade that is in a different location entirely, it can load that save state. But I would just love to see that to make the game loading experience quicker so that I could be in the middle of something, save my state, go do something, go for dinner, come back and pick up exactly where I left off. I would love to do that, even if it's only, say, the last two games. We'll do that, and then it starts destroying your save states. I would love to see that because anything to make jumping in and playing games faster is a good thing in my books.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a million times, that the thing that we like most about Stadia is how absolutely ridiculously convenient it is. And that's one area where everybody else gets it right and Stadia gets it wrong. And of course, they have technology issues that are kind of getting in their way because I'm not playing on the same device I'm not always playing on that same device, but being able to just hit the power button on my Nintendo Switch, sit it down, go do something and come back 3-4 days later, turn it on and pick up exactly where I was without doing anything is really, really cool. And that's what I want. More than being able to switch between games real fast, I just want to be able to say, all right, save this. Yeah. And then the next time I play Stadia, bring it up instantly. Yeah. And until I exit the game, I think that that's what I would really, really want because I'm all about that convenience. All right. 100%. We got some super chats that came in during the show. So let's talk about those. First off, we already hit Anthony Talcott. So thank you very much for that support again, Anthony. We do appreciate it. Bone Dead Fossil says, hey, what's up, Dasmi and Run Jump Stomp? That's us, by the way, if you guys didn't know. He's Dasmi. I'm Run Jump Stomp. You can follow us on Twitter at those names. Run Jump Stomp is easy to spell. Dasmi is Dasme. Bone Dead Fossil said, hey, what's up, guys? Have you tried the Halo Infinity Flight Beta on Xbox and PC or either? I got an email that invited me to it, but this weekend was my daughter's like birthday thing, and she lives an hour away, so we all went and hung out with her, and I haven't had a chance to sit down and try it out yet. I did install it, though, so I don't know if it's still going, and if it is, I'm probably going to try it out later on today. I'm looking forward to it, having never played multiplayer Halo ever. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably going to get just absolutely crushed. Have you played it, Lloyd?
Yeah, I played a chunk of it yesterday just to check it out. I suck. I'm too old for first-person shooters like this, I guess. either that or the people that I've been playing with, they memorize the maps, because I would spawn, I would come around a corner and I'd be shot in the back. And I'm like, how did you get behind me? That's impossible. You got behind me. So I played a handful of games, because when you start the flight, they give you an X number of coins that you can then use to buy the season pass and go through all that stuff. And I'm like, I want to max out my season pass. And then I got to like level 5 and I'm like, you know what? Dying and coming in last in every single match isn't fun for me. So I'm going to wait and I'll see what happens when it launches. It plays really well. I would love to see this on Stadia. It'll never happen, but man, that would be fantastic, right?
Yeah.
To jump into a free first person shooter, because this is going to be free to play on all platforms. The multiplayer component of Halo Infinite is going to be completely free to play across all the different platforms. I would love to see it on like Stadia and stuff like that, but unlikely that that's going to happen.
No.
Anyway, performs well. I like the changes they've done. I've played a lot of Halo Deathmatch and Slayer in my past. Apparently I'm very rusty, and maybe this will be a game that I only play with a group of my friends, because getting into pubs was very very aggravating, and I don't want more aggravation in my life.
All right, and yeah, we'll try and keep these Stadia related, but you know, Bone Dead through, like, he wanted us to talk about it, so we talked about it. Sukotronic sent in a super chat without any comment, like they always do. Thank you very much, Suko. And Cookie McCrumble sent in a super chat saying, Far Cry 6 is limited to 30 frames per second. Very disappointing. Yeah, that's on all of the last-gen consoles and on Stadia. I do think that that's very disappointing.
Yeah,
it's a shooter. Like, shooter games, they need to be higher frame rate in order... Like, I don't know. Is this change your math at all about where you're going to buy it?
I don't think so. I'm still probably going to play it on Stadia. These games drop in price so much that in 2 years, I'll be able to pick it up on my Xbox if that is the best place to play it in the future. But it's one of these games where I play through it at launch. I beat it. I 100% all the stuff that you can do in the game. And then I'll come back to it at different times just to re-experience different parts of the story. I love Far Cry. 30 frames a second isn't really going to change much, because I've played all the other ones at 30 frames a second.
That's absolutely fair. Yeah. The what is it? Ubisoft is like they have some of the best ports on Stadia. And if they are saying it's 30 frames per second, I trust them that that's probably for a good reason. And it's too bad. But what are you going to do? And then Consino just sent in a super chat for $5 with no comment. So thank you very much, Consino. We do appreciate it, man. You're awesome. That does it for this episode of StadiaCast. We did go a little long, and I apologize to everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. For those of you who are wondering, there's no D&D this week. One of our players has some stuff to do, and Lloyd and I are going to take advantage of that and go do other things instead of roll dice, even though we really, really do like rolling those dice. So if you haven't checked out our D&D streams and you are a member, you can watch the old streams as a member. So you can check out those on our channel. And we do have a new episode coming out of On Deck probably next week. So make sure you look out for that. And I hope you all have an awesome day. Say goodbye, Lloyd.
Take it easy, everybody. Have a great week. And we'll talk to you here next Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern. First StadiaCast.